So you've made it through a very rigorous selection process and NASA have signed you up. But what physical and mental characteristics actually make for a good astronaut? Dave Green is a lecturer in human and aerospace physiology at King's College London. So Dave, what are we looking for in an ideal astronaut?
So they don't need to be elite athletes. They need to be reasonably fit, but it's this really key thing of having a very low risk of injury and of illness because we don't have the capacity to make them better in space.
What about the other physiological challenges that someone will face in space? Because obviously we've evolved to live here on Earth. It's a very different environment up there. What sorts of challenges does that pose and how can people make sure that they can meet that challenge?
We've evolved in a gravitational environment, Earth's gravity. And so when we go into space and the absence of that gravitational field means that our body has a number of changes. So we lose muscle because we don't need so much muscle. We lose bone because we don't need so much bone. And that can present problems when we return to Earth or if we land on another planet. If we were to land on Mars and we have much lower bone mineral density, that first step onto the Martian surface could lead to a trip.
Are there some people for whom that's less of a problem? Are some people naturally better able to conserve their muscles and bones when they're in those low gravity environments?
That's a really good question. And to be honest, we don't know. All we can do is try our best to try and ameliorate, to stop these changes. So astronauts spend up to 2.5 hours of each day performing what we call exercise countermeasures in order to stop this loss of bone and this loss of muscle.
Because if you load up the bones and you load up the muscles with some kind of exercise, this sends a signal saying to the body, you do actually need to preserve your bone, you do actually need to preserve your muscle, and it keeps them strong.
Absolutely. But despite that 2.5 hours spent doing exercise, when frankly there's lots of other activities the astronaut should be doing, it's not completely prevented the loss of muscle and the loss of bone. So there's still much work to be done.
What about the thing that Kat alluded to, the sense of giddiness that many people describe and that kind of thing? Are some people much more capable of coping with that?
The reality is most of us become motion sickness, and astronauts are not immune to it either. The difficulty is knowing just how many astronauts experience what we call space adaptation syndrome. If you ask an astronaut when they have flight status, of course they'll say, oh, I didn't feel sick. Then when they retire, you find out that up to 70% of astronauts will then admit to feeling extremely sick. And what we do know is lots of antiemetics, so drugs that stop people feeling sick, they are consumed on the International Space Station. So we don't know who's taken them, but we know huge amounts are being taken.
Now, one of the other physical demands that are faced by astronauts is exposure to extreme G-forces. Now, we can actually test how these affect the body without having to leave the ground at all by placing a person in a device that spins them around at very high speed. This is called the human centrifuge. The one that we've got here in Britain was built in the 1950s, is capable of 30 revs a minute, and that's equivalent to 9 G. Our space boffin, Sue Nelson, went to give it a go.
It's all locked in, so what I need you to do now is just tighten your straps.
That's enough?
Yeah, happy. Right, so you just got to put your feet on the pedals there.
Okay.
And all you got to be happy that you can just tense up your legs if you need to, in case that the vision comes in and you lose it.
And do you have any advice? Do I have to actually just sit here as I would normally, as if I was watching TV, or do I have to tense my muscles
would,
up?
To get the most out of the situation, I try and be as relaxed as you can. Relax. It's always difficult in the first run because you don't know what to expect. But try and be as relaxed as you can and just watch what happens to the vision, see how it feels. We'll start very low.
Okay.
So the risk of actually losing consciousness because you haven't got enough blood going to your brain is very, very low. So it'll just give you a feel of what it's like. It's sort of the acceleration you might get or the gravity you might feel at Jupiter, that kind of level. So 2.6 G, so a fair amount.
Excellent.
But not enough to knock you out, but enough to make you feel 2.5 times heavier than you are now. So what you can do is we say be relaxed and try and move your hands up a bit. Control your hands. Just feel how heavy they weigh at that level. Just be thoughtful that obviously when you bring your hands up, they weigh 2.5 times, but they will come down a lot quicker because they weigh a lot more. Yeah, feel it.
Okay, take me to Jupiter.
Stand by, 2.6 G, 15 seconds.
And it's just building up now. So describe how you feel.
Oh, I've just gone to the right-hand side and I can feel the pressure on my cheeks forcing back my cheeks as if it's stretching my face. I will relax to make it easier. And my ears have popped slightly. Oh, and it's turned and gone upright again. Wow. What a weird feeling.
Describe the feeling when it stopped.
Your stomach lurching as if you've gone over that top of a roller coaster and suddenly stopped, and the pressure relieving from your cheekbones.
Would you like me to up it to something like 3.4G?
What would that be like?
You'd feel, obviously, a little bit more heavy. I won't ask you to touch your nose, but if you just concentrate on keeping your vision and tensing your abdomen and legs, you shouldn't grey out at all.
Okay.
In that case, Graham, we'll go for 3.4G for 15 seconds, please.
Stand by. 3.4G, 15 seconds.
Get ready to tense if you need to. That's 3.4.
This is not as pleasant. I look like a burner dog. I can feel my hands really pressurized. Oh, it's difficult to lift my hands. That feels like you've done the biggest roller coaster ride ever. I don't think I could have touched my nose if I'd tried.
No, it does make a significant difference, but it was worth is worth just feeling the weight of your arms at 3.5 times the normal weight.
And the feeling that stretch on your face.
Whoa. Yes, we know what you look like when you're going to be 15 years older now.
Thank you.
What was that like? Let's get the immediate reaction.
I really enjoyed it. It's given me a newfound respect for what astronauts must go through on takeoff and landing, because it's not just a thrill ride, which I love. There is that feeling of uncomfortableness. For me, it was in my face. I felt as though my face was being dragged down with the pressure.
There were space boffins Sue Nelson and Richard Hollingham at the end there, trying out Kinetic's human centrifuge. Dave Green, who's a lecturer in human and aerospace physiology at King's College London, is still with us. So, Dave, tell us what was actually happening to Sue there.
So as Sue was spinning around on the axis, the gondola tilted so that her feet were pointing towards the centre, the axis of rotation. And what then happened was all the fluid was being moved down towards her feet. She mentioned that she started to get grey out. So you lose colour in your vision, and you actually get curtaining, so you lose your peripheral vision. That's the warning sign before you get what we call G-lock, which is G-induced loss of consciousness. So because fluid and blood is being moved down towards your feet, there isn't enough blood to supply the eyes, and then there isn't enough blood to supply the brain. So the brain essentially switches off. So you should take care when you see that grey out to start doing those anti-G straining manoeuvres.
That was when they made reference to tensing her muscles. What does that do? Increase the amount of blood returning to the heart to keep your blood pressure up?
Exactly. So if you tense the calves and your legs, you use them as basically pumps. So we call that a muscle pump. So you're pumping blood back to the heart so that it can pump it around to the rest of the body, not back up to the brain.
Sue tolerated 3.5G there. What would be the equivalent for an astronaut in a day-to-day sort of takeoff and landing situation?
So the G can go up to 7G, and there have been instances where it's gone over 7Gs on the return to Earth, so that was a real bump. But of course, one we have to remember, in space, in weightlessness, there's no G. So rather than fluid being moved down towards your feet, it gets moved up towards your face. So you get what we call chicken legs, pig face.